Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen. Fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday, the gospel that comes to us from the beginning of John chapter 10, where Jesus states he is the Good Shepherd. In order to get the full meaning of John chapter 10, we begin at looking at the context of this passage. First of all, there are, in the cultural sense, first century Israel, for the most part, shepherds grazed their sheep on land that no one claimed. It was sort of like open range grazing of the ranchers in pioneer days of the United States. Only instead of cattle, sheep. And in order to provide protection at nighttime, several shepherds would work together to clear the area of stones. And they would use the stones to build an enclosure to keep the predators away. And the enclosure would have an opening where the shepherds would lie down at night. He would literally become the door to the enclosure. No sheep can get out without stepping on the shepherd. If a wolf wanted to get in, to get at the sheep, it had to go through the shepherd. When Jesus states that he is the door of the sheep, he is telling us that he is the good shepherd who guards the entrance to his flock with his body. This is an excellent picture when we think it is Jesus' body on the cross that saves and protects us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. When morning came, the shepherd would call his flock. When the sheep heard the call of their shepherd and only their shepherd, they came out and they followed by listening for his voice, by working with the sheep out in the pasture all day long, by talking to them. The sheep came to know the voice of the shepherd. They would not follow just any voice. Martin Luther gives an excellent example of what it means to hear the Good Shepherd's voice in his explanation to the third commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Those who hear the Good Shepherd's voice have a hunger that can be satisfied, only satisfied by the word of God. They do not see Bible class as a duty or an inconvenience. Instead, they see it as an opportunity to feed from the green pastures and drink from the still waters. They see it as an opportunity to be with their good shepherd and receive his gifts. Jesus began his teaching, we heard in the gospel, when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." He was speaking directly to the Pharisees who condemned him and who had thrown a man out of the synagogue. He was saying they were thieves and robbers. The Pharisees were experts at taking the word of God out of context. Even though they memorized large sections of the scripture, they often misused it. They replaced the true meaning of the scripture with their own opinion. These were pious people. They did many good things, and they did not do other things. These were signs of a spiritual person. Jesus says they are thieves and robbers, for they teach salvation by another way. Salvation through deeds, not through a Savior. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You are not going to get in on your terms, but his. He is the door that we must pass through, death to eternal life. Things are what they are. Jesus is the Savior. You are the one being saved. If we try to get in on our terms, we are trying to get in over the wall. Jesus said, we'll have none of that. Remember the story of the wedding feast? All the good people were invited, but they were too busy. So all of the riffraff were invited. They were clothed in the garment of the king. Yet there was some poor schmo who, walking around in his t-shirt and shorts, he thought that he was good enough. He was cast out. He climbed in over the wall. He snuck in. He was not allowed to stay. Pastors are expected to proclaim the forgiveness of sins week in and week out. I preach one sermon 52 different ways, but it's like this. We are sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We are rebellious children. Our Father sent us His Son, our brother who adopted us through His cross. We were dead and were made alive. A dead man is dead. Apart from Christ, that is what we are. Week in, week out. That is the message. Me first, then to you. You are a sinner. You need a Savior. A Savior has been given to you. And so I proclaim that to you. Martin Luther speaks this way. You should expect this and demand this of a pastor. All who do not preach Christ are thieves and robbers. It's that simple. Isn't that what Jesus says about false shepherds? They are nothing more than thieves and robbers, trying to rob us. This is the goal of every pastor, week in, week out. I fall short in so many ways. But on Sundays, I can look in the mirror, for I have told sinners about their Savior. Those who refuse to do so steal. What of you? You are to honor the Sabbath day by gladly hearing and learning the Word of God, so you will not be deceived and drawn away from the shepherd. You are to know the truth from lies. There are so many voices teaching weird things out there. The voice of the Good Shepherd will not be mocked. It is the only voice that has accomplished salvation through His cross. We who have been born from above, instructed in the Word, and through that Word we know that voice. The voice that says, I have paid for your sins. You are forgiven. Yes, we all deserve death. None of us deserves to go to heaven. But Christ in His mercy has redeemed us. Another time Jesus became so frustrated with the Pharisees and scolded them by saying, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We still have false teachers today. They come in all shapes and sizes and styles. How do we guard against them? if there are so many? It becomes a little easier when you realize that all false teachings have one central teaching. This sounds very tempting. All I have to do is something. It sounds so harmless and uplifting. But as soon as my part of the process depends on me, it is false teaching. It's a robber or a thief trying to get into the sheepfold. Any system that depends in any part on me will fail in the end. In the end, we all must stand before Almighty God and give an account of ourselves. Those who depend on the opinions of the false prophets will not pass the final test. The Bible teaches a different way. It expresses us to God's holy law in all of its severity. A lawyer asked Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." These are the commandments that we must keep in order to earn our own salvation. And when the Bible says keep, it means keep perfectly. There are no timeouts, no gimmies, no do-overs, no mulligans. One mistake and it's all over. If the law were golf, it would mean playing 18 holes of golf and ending up with a score of 18. The Bible simply says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's law clearly teaches that anyone who believes he can contribute anything to salvation will fail. He will lose everything. When you come to the truthful realization that you cannot actually do that, there is nothing left but despair. True religion offers a solution for that despair. In today's gospel, Jesus tells you that he is the good shepherd, who is the door to salvation. When you go before God and confess, "I do not love you as I should," the Bible tells you that God sent his only Son into the world to do that for you. When you go before God and you confess, "I do not love my neighbor as myself," the Bible tells you that Jesus was sent into the world to do that for you. When you go before God and confess, "I cannot bear the punishment I deserve for my sin," the Bible tells you that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world to do that for you. Jesus endured the punishment for you. The truth of the entire Bible is that God does all the work and he gives us salvation. We do nothing. God does it all. God, the Holy Spirit, even gives you the faith to receive this salvation. What God requires, God provides. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. It is he who loves God perfectly for you. It is he who loves his neighbor perfectly for you. It is he who died for you. It is he who rose from the dead for you. It is he who ascended for you. He is the one whose body is the door to salvation. It is he who calls you by name. He has done all that you need. He has done it so that you can live with him forever. 8 months ago, I stood before you. At one point during that installation service, there was a blessing spoken. It says, "Go therefore and be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. Preach the word of God. Administer the sacraments. Offer prayer for all the faithful. Instruct, watch over, and guide the flock among which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy. For you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." What I love about that simple blessing is that it is a reminder who is the chief shepherd, of whose flock a pastor is called to serve. Pastor does not go out with his own authority, but with the authority of the one good shepherd. They speak not their own words. They hand over not their own gifts, but the gifts of Christ himself. This is the heart of our joy and assurance that the word of the good shepherd is still heard in our midst. He is your good shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. And he laid down his life for you. God was not lying. He indeed came and cared for his own. He suffered and died, and he defeated the wolf that seeks to scatter and destroy the flock. The Lord is our shepherd. What evil is there to fear? For he goes with us. In Jesus' name, amen.